you know, we've already seen on trade, for example, a tangible result that TPP won't be voted on in the lame duck session, and then there's potential for it to be set adrift for a while, and that there are, you know, been pledges to renegotiate NAFTA in the first 200 days of the administration. So given that, I would say that we would expect to see some action on immigration, considering the high-profile nature of the issue and the campaign. We'll see some of President-elect Trump's thinking probably translated into proposals, and we will probably see the pent-up demand for action on this issue met in some way.
How will the renegotiation of NAFTA and President-elect Trump's views on NAFTA inflect immigration reform?
I think they're two separate issues for the most part, but I think we've already seen, like I said, a tangible effect of the election. Right now, NAFTA is very fuzzy. We'll keep an eye on it. It's been a very beneficial trade agreement for U.S. agriculture and Illinois agriculture. In 2015, I think somewhere in the neighborhood of $37 billion worth of ag exports went to those two countries. They're two of our best friends and two of our closest trading partners. So
it's the manufacturing portion of NAFTA that the president-elect is really focused on. So do you think it's likely that the agricultural provisions would survive intact in their present form?
Well, that would be, that would be our hope, and that's something I think we'll insist on. The manufacturing provisions, I'm not sure what the potential is there to renegotiate them. NAFTA's been in place now for a long time, 20 years.
You mentioned the pent-up demand for immigration reform, but will Democrats participate in this? Since the House, Senate, and White House are all going to be occupied by Republicans, where's their incentive to say, I want to be part of this when it will involve deportations, at least some?
Nobody is ever going to sit out an issue because they feel like there's a potential they're going to get run over.
The Republicans sat out health care for 6 years.
That was after something had already been passed. There hasn't been anything done on immigration reform in 30 years, so nothing has happened on immigration reform or on immigration other than administrative actions. So, yes, the president has earned the title deporter-in-chief. It'll be interesting to see if the president-elect takes up that mantle and continues on with deportations, whether he'll call a timeout, what will be the first item on his agenda on this issue, which was discussed ad nauseum during the campaign.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with Adam Nielsen of the Illinois Farm Bureau. The Democrats have typically talked about a path to citizenship, something that Republicans have been opposed to because of the law and order nature of overstaying visas and remaining here without documentation. Will there be something more like a path to permanent residency instead of citizenship, or how does that get parsed in a Republican-controlled environment?
Yeah, probably differently than it was in the Senate when the last piece of immigration legislation was passed. It was bipartisan, as you recall, the Gang of Eight, four Republicans, four Democrats. There was a lot of money that went to the border to fortify the border. Well, we were going to revisit our visa system. People were coming in on visas and overstaying their welcome. That would be addressed. And then some sectors of the economy, like agriculture, were going to have their visa programs revisited. And the undocumented workers who could prove that they had been in agriculture, for example, for a period of time, would be given the opportunity to pay fines, admit the fact that they are in the country without authorization, and then move toward earning a blue card status.
Yeah, they go to the end of the line.
They go to the end of the line, and they pay their penalties, but at some point in time, many, many years down the road, they would have the opportunity to get a green card and then perhaps become a citizen.
Is that still operative as a template, or is it going to be something really different?
I don't know. We won't know until the first proposal comes forward, you'll get a sense of how open the administration will be to that. My sense is probably not very open to it. I'm not going to get my hopes up for revisiting what the Gang of Eight was able to do in 2013 in the Senate. I think it's going to be a lot different, and we're going to have to react and adjust.
What are you hearing from agricultural producers who use immigrant labor to harvest in their orchards and in their farms?
We've spent a little bit of time on this in the last several months because across the country, there were a lot of employers who working through the H-2A agricultural visa program, which is administered by the Department of Labor, who complained that there were administrative delays in the processing of their applications and delays in getting workers to the fields to the point where, you know, the crop would be harvested, whatever that crop was, and when the workers arrived, there was no work for them to do. So there was an effort in the last several months to call this problem to the attention of the Department of Labor and to get congressional support, to put pressure on the Department of Labor to address these administrative shortcomings. That situation is out there and needs to be addressed. Also, just the fact that we still don't have a legal, stable workforce for many sectors of agriculture that rely on undocumented workers to do a lot of the work because we can't find Americans to do the job. That's still out there. And, you know, my concern would be an enforcement-only approach to immigration that would threaten what is occurring right now, even though it's not legal, it's been stable for the most part. That could have a very disruptive impact on our economy. And that is something that we would all pay for at the grocery store in some shape or form. And that we would also see a migration of some segments of agriculture across the borders, overseas, and so forth. So that hasn't been addressed, and I guess we'll see whether President-elect Trump has a desire to address it. Now, I have had the opportunity to hear him speak to groups of farmers in the very recent past. He is fully aware of agriculture's immigration issue and the need to have a legal, stable workforce. So, and he pledged to the agricultural folks, the farmers he was talking to, that he would try to address that. So we're going to take him for his word there.
He's also surrounding himself with people like Steve Bannon, who even opposes high-tech immigration, which is a high value for the economy, and Jeff Sessions, who is opposed to what most bipartisan forces look at as immigration reform. Yeah. So which way is that pendulum gonna swing?
Well, I don't know. Again, if you want to go down the enforcement-only road, there are consequences, economic consequences, for everyone. And if you want to set your rhetoric aside and try to solve the problem, it's there to be solved. We haven't addressed it in 30 years since 1986. There's been a lot of discussion of it, and it's been very simplistic. Those of us who have worked on immigration recognize that it's a very complex issue that doesn't lend itself to the kind of rhetoric that we've heard. So something will have to give, and we could just continue the status quo.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with Adam Nielsen about immigration issues as it affects his bailiwick, the agriculture industry. GLT recently talked with Congressman Rodney Davis, who said that he sees an opportunity for it because of unigovernment, because the Republicans are in control. He says it has been blocked by both parties in the past because they use it as a political bludgeon on the other side. Both sides, he said, have done that. Do you think there's merit in that?
Well, I think a Republican-controlled Congress would be more accepting of taking on this challenge and getting serious about addressing immigration reform if they feel that the economy is recovering. And so what you're going to see in the first year probably is a lot of policy aimed at trying to accelerate economic growth. We're going to see tax reform addressed. We're going to see regulatory reform addressed, both of which we would welcome in agriculture. So if we can get some wins there, if we can get Congress moving in one direction on an economic agenda, that could make people feel better and be more willing to address this issue of immigration reform.
Well, that does lead to a question about the order of play. Mm-hmm. Republicans have 6-8 years worth of bills that they would like to have passed. Do they use all their will and all their capital to get things done before the next mid-cycle election precludes action? And where does immigration fall on that priority list in the House and Senate?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It will be addressed in some form. Maybe it'll be addressed on day one and we won't see it again for another year or a year and a half. It will be addressed. But will it be addressed in some sort of a comprehensive or wide-ranging way? Initially, probably not. So those of us who want to see something happen may be forced to react to proposals that wouldn't be helpful. I don't know if that's going to help. But I think we'll eventually see the issue addressed fully and comprehensively.
That kind of cuts against your public statement several months ago in a forum held at the McLean County Chamber of Commerce that comprehensive immigration reform would be necessary to get a coalition of votes together. You have to address the high-tech visas, you have to address the ag visas, you have to address border security, you have to address those who are undocumented,
right,
all together in one package. You're saying that that's not likely to happen, at least at first.
I would say probably not.
So that could actually lessen the impetus to deal with certain things.
It could. It could also mean that the president-elect could have a real battle on his hands. What will the Republican-controlled House do? What will a narrowly Republican-controlled Senate do? You know, we're talking about 51 votes right now. Right?
So that's an argument that Democrat votes will still be needed.
Yeah, Democrat votes will still be needed. We will see probably some dramatic administrative action that is consistent with statements that were made in the campaign.
DACA is dead.
Yeah, there's a lot of latitude there, or it's adjusted in some way. Maybe more border security assets. I don't think you can build a wall or a fence without congressional support.